May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I hope to capitalize on a little bit of that laughter that broke out at the sign of a party in full swing. As many of you know, I was away in Seattle this past week and this past Sunday, meeting with a group of men. There are 11 of us that have met for almost 25 years. And we spent 4 days with each other and serious check-ins about how we're doing with our lives and how we're doing. What are we intending for the coming year? What kind of lessons have we learned in the past year? And it's really deep heart sharing. And in honor of that group, I'm going to quote the sort of the email tag from one of my friends in that group, who says, "If you want to change the world, throw a better party." And I don't think he knows quite how Jewish he is when he says that, because that is like core Jewish sensibility, and it's not coincidental that one of the first ways that Jesus reveals himself is at a wedding banquet. And more of that first, or in a minute. I do want to look at this notion of, I want to set the idea of a party up, because what it requires of us is for us to look a little bit at what it is we actually want. And I want to read a passage from Isaiah 55. One of the great invitations. "Everyone who thirsts," says Isaiah, "come to the waters, and the one who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and money without, buy wine and bread without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves with fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that your soul may live." Now this is the better party. This is, but part of what it recognizes is that so much of our everyday activity is energy spent in service of that which does not satisfy very deeply. It's like we are living on a diet of sugar. Just distractions and shallow entertainments and lots of froth, but not real satisfaction. And so I think when the Jewish sensibility puts before us, in the words of my friend, "If you want to change the world, throw a better party," it is absolutely not a party like our culture, or like any human culture, tends to throw, which is diversion and distraction, so that the culture can just go on doing whatever it wants. No, when the Jewish people talk about throwing a better party, it's a party, it's reality organized around what our deepest longings really are. And so I want to talk a little bit about what those deepest longings might be. And I want to talk about the psalm, first of all. The psalm that is in so many ways so beautiful. I mean, "They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart." I think this psalm sets up something that Jesus meant to overturn. In fact, God's loving kindness is not just to those who are true of heart. And it's not just to those who already know God. That, again, sets up a kind of expectation in us that if we are to be invited to God's party, we have to do something to ourselves first to make ourselves acceptable. And if there is any message that is at the heart of what Jesus taught, it's that God loves us exactly where we are. Exactly where we are. We don't need to do anything to make ourselves acceptable to God. And as we say, or as I say, since I have the bully pulpit, as I say so regularly, God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And this is what Jesus sort of teased out of his tradition. Because he wanted really us to understand, it's not that we have to make ourselves better in order to be pleasing to God. It's that we have to allow ourselves to be loved by God, and that will bring about the changes that are necessary in our lives. When we know that we are loved and we begin to live in a way that is appropriate to that and gives witness that we are actually aware of that, that is the fullness of life. But wherever we are, it was the running joke at our seminary. Our seminary dean, he would say it at almost every public utterance, it's all right to be where you are. And in that simple phrase is contained one of the most difficult pieces of human wisdom. Because, whoa, is there anything that any of us has trouble with more greatly than being exactly where we are, with that kind of complete self-acceptance that allows us to move from this particular spot? But I think that's right at the heart of Jesus' message. We are loved where we are, and then let your life unfold from that. There's something about the story from the wedding of Cana that we don't understand. And I think it has to do with six large stone jars, which were for the Jewish rites of purification. Now, who here has a real dialed sense of the Jewish rites of purification? Like, probably none of us. You're supposed to smile at least a little bit. We don't understand it. We don't understand what it meant to be Jewish and to be under the threat of defilement and under the religious release from that defilement, religious purification. We don't understand what that's like. And I think a lot of the symbolism of the change that Jesus is bringing about, it's water into wine, but it's also jars set aside for religious purity, which presupposes that something has gone wrong. We need to rectify our relationship with God. Religious purity, now these jars are being converted to use in a wedding banquet. They're filled with wine. They're filled with that which is one of the chief Jewish symbols of well-being. If you want well-being, or a symbol of well-being, wine and fatness, all the things that are bad for us. You know, high cholesterol and red wine are the Jewish idea of really the banquet, the feast at the end of time. And so Jesus is changing a ritual part of Jewish life in a way that I think we only understand at a scholarly level. We don't get it in our guts. You know, if I wave an American flag, you might not know what I'm going to do with that flag, but you know it's a powerful symbol. And I think the Jewish stone jars for rites of purification were also a powerful symbol, and we just don't understand it anymore. But note the change. Religious purity and those concerns, big jars of wine for the wedding banquet. It's different sensibility. And then finally, you know, I want to lift from 1 Corinthians part of what I think is central to the great party that God wants us that God invites us to. And it has to do with There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And is that also not something that we talk about regularly? What is that? I think it's part of the sound system, but I'm not wearing any amplification, so I don't know what happened. Variety of gifts, but one Spirit. Again, I think this is a primary recognition for us as a Christian people. And again, there is a lot, as we talk, or as people talk about what it means to be Christian, there's a lot that suggests that a variety of gifts, one Spirit, is just the church. And again, I think that's too narrow. I think what we're really invited to perceive and to go out into the world to perceive is that there is one Spirit, one Creator of all beings. And we make that known. Our lives take shape in very different ways. But if we can hold those two things together, how very different we are, and that we all come from the same place. Now that is the basis for human community. And it doesn't mean that every expression is an authentic expression of where we come. We lose our way. We get selfish. We get greedy. We get angry. We get afraid. And so we do lots to betray that perception that we all come from the same place, but we express it differently, but we all belong together. We lose sight of that all the time. Is it not part of our Christian path to be the ones in the world that keep ringing that bell? We belong together. We come from the same source. We share a common father and mother in God. We belong together. And may our lives reflect that understanding. I know where I come from, and I'm going to let that energy pour forth in the world, not with my own selfish projects or my own anxious fears or my own desire to blame others for troubles. I'm going to work to go to a deeper level where I understand that really nobody's hands are clean. You know, God doesn't love just, you know, those who are pure of heart. God loves us. Or as Paul said, so often said, God loves sinners. Not the perfect, not the best people. God loves us as we are. So we're sent forth into the world to recognize that, to see it in ourselves, and then call the world to the party that it really wants to share anyway. We are really tired of working for that which does not satisfy, for eating dust when we're hungry for bread. Let's throw a better party. Let's throw a better party that nourishes the world and ourselves.